520 and now Northeast 195th in Bothell as we finally start to see signs of improvement here. Seattle to Everett, 50 minutes with scattered backups from the Convention Center through Northgate. A little crowding left through Linwood. Everett to Seattle around 40 minutes. You're crowded in Northgate, and that carries you down to the Convention Center. Bellevue to South Center, 35 minutes with a thick backup approaching 520 down to the VMAC. Seattle to Federal Way is going to take you 45 minutes. You're packed from the Boeing Access Road to South 188. Crossing the lake from Bellevue into Seattle, looking pretty good. Just 25 minutes on both I-90 and 520. And through Federal Way right now, both directions of I-5, you're struggling between the Fife Curve and State Route 18. Global Credit Union, where members enjoy no-fee accounts and early payday or direct deposit. Learn more at globalcu.org. Cairo News Radio, real-time traffic. I'm Nate Connors.
Cairo News Radio, 97.3 FM, Northwest News. Now, the latest from Cairo News Radio and MyNorthwest.com.
Good evening, I'm Aaron Granillo. A Belltown Bar's outdoor seating area is torn down by a car crash. Cairo 7 TV's Renji Sinha reports from that business named Some Random Bar.
Kate Kax says her section of Belltown woke up to some random bar taking a brutal blow.
I can't even imagine what the owner feels like. I mean, this is a small business, and Belltown is already struggling. As you can see, the retail down here it's desolate.
As lanes were shut down on First Avenue near Vine, the damage was clear in the morning daylight. The outdoor seating area slumped over, splintered, and destroyed after it was hit by a vehicle. To Kax, it's a loss for one of the few bar eateries that still call Belltown home.
A car that hit that bar was left at the scene. The driver walked away. A planned pop-up veterinary clinic in Everett is canceled tomorrow because a truck was stolen and damaged by the crooks. Director Rachel Raj is director of Seattle Veterinary Outreach. She tells us her organization cannot provide any services at this point.
We are completely mobile, which is what makes this so devastating for us. The ambulance had been refurbished to be a full veterinary hospital.
Raj says she thinks the thieves were hoping to find drugs in the truck. It was stolen from Edmonds this morning and later found in Everett. The Humane Society of Tacoma and Pierce County is asking for donations to help fill the shelves of their pet food bank. Cairo 7 TV found this man who helped out.
We were going shopping anyway for dog food, so let's get an extra bag and come on down to the Humane Society and donate.
Shelter says financial strain has more people turning to them for help. The Gonzaga Bulldogs right now have the early lead in their first round matchup in the college basketball tournament. They're up 20-12 over McNeese State. Later tonight, the Washington State Cougars face Drake. Cougs head coach Kyle Smith.
Really excited to be here. It's been a wonderful season. Being a 7 seed, not having to completely sweat it out on the bubble was nice.
Tip-off for the Cougs is set for 7:05. And now your forecast brought to you by State Roofing. Increasing clouds for tonight. Also, the rain returns. Spotty showers for this evening. And then some light rain expected off and on tomorrow. Right now, 56 degrees, mostly cloudy, outside the Carter Subaru studio. I'm Aaron Granillo, Cairo News Radio.
Your best source for local news, serving Western Washington and the world with a Cairo News Radio app. Always streaming live on your smart speakers. You're listening to Cairo News Radio, Northwest News.
I just want to say thank you to Jake Skorheim, who is sitting in for John Curley on the John Curley and Sherry Elliker show. This hour is brought to you by Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. So go get some eggs. Every time I hear the commercial, I want to eat eggs. I think they're effective. I always think of these farm fresh eggs. And they sound really
I like
good.
Wilcox eggs. They're great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. That's a good egg.
Yeah, this is something I thought everybody kind of knew, and then I read the article, and I realized there was something that was a complete surprise to me. What is the difference, or why is it necessary to remind people how a four-way stop works?
All right, so Chris Sullivan has this article. If you guys want to check this out at MyNorthwest.com, I also was under the impression that I knew everything about four-way stops. I guess I didn't. So when you arrive at a four-way stop, you're supposed to let the person to your right go. Whoever gets there first gets to go. And then if you arrive at the exact same time, it's the person on your right. Although, quick side note, I will say if you both arrive at the same time, if you're like the person to your right changes if you're on the other side of the street, correct? So like if you and I are directly across from each other and we're both the person to our right, we would both be the person to the right to the other person, right?
Well, yeah, but we wouldn't. If we were facing each other, two trains leave the station at the exact same time.
Okay.
So if we were both facing each other, right?
I feel dumb. Yeah, go ahead.
No, but we can both go at the same time because we're not crossing each other. We can just go.
Oh, you're right. Yes. No, you're right. You're right. No, but no, it would depend on who's turning where. So like if we're both turning.
If you're not turning. Okay.
If I'm turning right, and you're turning left and we're facing across from each other, and this is going to be on the test. So... who goes? It's the person to your right. But if we're both sitting there across from each other, we're both to each other's right. No, that's incorrect. I think this is all, it's very confusing. We need this article, is the point.
Shouldn't be, but I agree. I'm puzzled by it now.
Doesn't that seem puzzling? Like, who goes in that point? Do we just both sit there until one of us dies? I guess.
Well, you can do the wave, you know, go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Okay, so that's what you do. Legally, you're supposed to offer it to the other person. And then when they don't take it immediately, then you start screaming at them.
Right.
So Chris Sullivan has this article. If somebody arrives at the same time as you, it's the person to your right, however that works. I don't know. If there's a pedestrian walking across, Chris reminds us, you're not supposed to run over the pedestrian, which I think is good advice. You're supposed to let the pedestrian get fully across the road, and then you have the right of way to go. But only once a pedestrian is across the road.
But nobody does that. Like if the pedestrian is crossing and he's not in front of the car that's to your right or whatever, they figure, well, while that pedestrian is crossing, I can just go.
Well, I can't speak to that. I actually can't rebuild that visual in my head. So I can't speak to if that's the right thing to do.
Okay. All right. Wait. So I'm sitting like this. I'm sitting and in front of me is a pedestrian walking directly across the street.
You're driving a car, right?
Right.
Okay, you're in the car. You're just a four-way stop. There's a pedestrian walking across from you across the street. All right, go ahead.
But there's a guy to my right that's making a right-hand turn. He's not going to wait for the pedestrian to cross and then give me the right of way. He's just going to make his turn.
He's just going to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he's allowed to do that. I think he's, if you're having to wait because you have to legally, I think the guy who has the clear path forward, he can go. But then the right of way transfers back to you, legally speaking. You're supposed to go. I think, although I'm not quite sure. Here's what people need to do. Yeah, we're failing at this. People need to read this article. Clearly, we have a lot of studying left to do. I will say this, though, that one thing that is replacing a lot of these four-way stops. Do you guys have this in Virginia? Do you have a lot of roundabouts in Virginia?
No, we have all over Maryland, which is our neighbor. They're everywhere, and they are the most awful thing. I mean, nobody knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
The ones in D.C., you know, D.C. was designed by Pierre Lafont. He was the guy that designed Paris. And you have roundabouts all through the city and you get tourists in there and nobody knows what to do. And I think they're a nightmare.
Have they been there? Have the roundabouts in D.C., though, have they been there for a long time since Pierre designed them? Like 100, 200 years ago, however
they're,
long?
But if you live there, well, I used to live there and I knew how to navigate them. But people that don't, it's very confusing. And there's some inside lanes go a certain place and outside lanes go a certain place.
So we recently, you know, in my neighborhood, they have recently started. I live north of Seattle. And I think back, you know, I'm going to blame it on the pandemic. But when people started leaving the big cities because of remote work and they started filling in these like smaller towns.
Mm-hmm.
They realized that, like, the congestion, the traffic congestion that was being caused at these stop signs and at these, you know, like traditional lights, they just couldn't do anymore. And so they started adding in all these roundabouts. And they are very confusing. And it's very difficult for people who are not used to roundabouts to learn how to use this new thing of driving in a circle. I don't know why it's so difficult, but it is difficult. People just, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, I guess. And so I was following a woman who probably, if I'm being completely honest, and this is a snap judgment, but I think it's fair, she should not have been driving a vehicle. People reach a certain age where I don't think that they should be driving cars anymore. I don't know when. It's probably different for every person. She looked like she was about 99 years old.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 45.
No, I wasn't going to say 45. No, that's fine. She was about 99 years old, and she's driving her car, and she just could not have looked. I don't even know how she was seeing over the steering wheel. She should not have been driving, and her kids need to talk to her, and they need to take the keys away. That's an awkward conversation. I understand that, but it's not safe. So she arrives, but back to the roundabouts. She arrives at this roundabout, and I'm behind her, and I'm with one of my kids is in the car, and we're just kind of sitting there waiting. There's nobody in the roundabout, and the great thing about roundabouts is you just go, right? Mm-hmm. You just jump into it, But you got to kind of jump. It's like jumping into a, you know, a
revolving door.
Yeah, a revolving door. There it is. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know this. And so she has now reached this, like confusion in the road. She doesn't know what to do. And I felt bad for her because they had just built this. This had just gone into effect probably like 2 weeks prior. She's sitting there at the edge of this roundabout and she's, I can see the process where she's like, all right, do I go left? Do I go right? And the answer, of course, is that you go right. And so what she does instead is she just goes, she hits the gas and just goes right over the roundabout, like directly over the top.
Oh, no.
Jumps the curb. I'm sorry. Doesn't even attempt to turn with it and just goes over the roundabout. And I was just like, well, that's one way of doing it, I guess. Thank God there was nobody in the roundabout. Nobody got hurt. She, you know, I assume she made it. She was fine. But they were very confusing. And so are they always a good, you know, a good alternative to four-way stops? I don't know. I don't think they are with certain people of a certain age.
Not in congested areas, because there are points when you can't get in. When, you know, if you hesitate and you wait, and then more cars.
You have to be very aggressive.
Yeah. And it's scary to some people. So if you don't know what you're doing or you haven't done it, I can see at 99 years old.
I don't know if she was 99.
A little bit tricky.
Yeah.
So you can go to mynorthwest.com and see everything, get everything you've ever wanted to know about four-way stops, because Chris Sullivan is a conduit to the people and he will tell you everything.
Yeah. And he's happy to do it.
Yeah, he's happy to do it.
I'm their conduit, and I'm glad to do it.
He's glad to do it. That's right. He's glad to do it.
Angela Chow is a woman that died very tragically. We've talked about her. She was a billionaire sister-in-law of Mitch McConnell. And on February 10th, she had some girls over. I shouldn't say girls. She had some friends over that were part of her Harvard Business School class.
They were ladies. I mean, in the article that I read, it says they were seven girlfriends she had over, so...
Yep.
Yeah, technically, right.
And then she wanted to go up to her bigger house. They were all in the guest house to see her son, who's 3 years old, and say goodnight. So she backs out of the compound, I guess, and then goes back into reverse in her car by accident. And she goes into a pond and she dies and drowns. And it was suspicious at first, but this just came out yesterday that they found out that her blood alcohol level was 3 times the legal limit.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that just such a tragic ending to that story?
Yes.
It's so
horrible.
Sad. And the idea too, like, I think the thing that scares people, I mean, the thing that scared me about it when I heard the story originally was just the idea that how big is this pond? Is she just below the surface of the pond? I mean, like the pond that I have near my house, I don't even know if a car would be fully submerged in that pond. You know, like this is probably a big property. And, you know, obviously she was fully submerged because she drowned in the vehicle. But if somebody had been able to get to her faster, would they have been able to save her life? And then it reminded me of like Mary Jo, the Kennedy.
Kopechne.
You know, the area where that car went off the road and then underwater was not super deep. They could see the top of the vehicle, like from the road. And so... Could she have been saved? And it's just the idea of dying in such a weird way like that was just horrible. And she was on the phone with her friend talking for like eight minutes or something.
This is the weird thing. So she called her friends from her car at 11:42. They talked on the phone for 8 minutes. Meanwhile, the other friends got out in a kayak and they were trying to find her in the pond, or at least try to, I guess, rescue her. They didn't call 911 to 11:55.
Can you imagine that? I mean, like, honestly, that's like, you couldn't write that in a movie script. They're just, can you just imagine the heightened chaos of being in a canoe, knowing that your friend is down there somewhere on the phone with you, stuck in her car?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And perhaps they also had been drinking and maybe they weren't, their judgment wasn't so great. But I would think that the first thing you think of is, I can't handle this. I need 911 right now. So they called 911. They were on the phone with them for about 11 minutes, which I guess is they were waiting for the people to arrive. And she was pronounced dead at 1:40 a.m.
That is so sad. I had not read the part that she had a 3-year-old child. That's very sad.
It's terrible. And she had... I mean, she had so much to live for. She was a billionaire, which, you know, doesn't mean much, but it does mean that she had a very successful career. Her husband is part owner of the Boston Celtics. They had a 3-year-old child. They had properties all over. And yeah, I mean, but I know what you're saying, Jake. You're saying you want to limit your vulnerability when something like this happens, because that's when people ask questions like when you say somebody died suddenly of cancer and they didn't know they had it. Your first question is, well, what symptoms did they have?
Yeah.
Well,
you're right. Like,
you're evaluating your own own vulnerability in something like this.
Yeah, I want to be able to put myself at ease, knowing that there are things that preventative things that I can do, so I don't find myself in the same situation. So, like in this case, when I saw that she was 3 times the legal limit, you just go like, oh well, at least I can promise myself, don't get behind the wheel of a vehicle if you are drunk or 3 times the legal limit, and then you hopefully don't find yourself in a situation like that. Another thing that people can do, I don't know if you know this, but like one of the reasons they say it was very difficult for her to get out of the car is because Tesla, you know, is very well built, and I guess these windows were extra strong. But if somebody is trapped in a vehicle and they're trying to get out and they don't have something inside to smash, the headrests. You take the headrest out. Have you ever heard about this?
No.
You take the headrest out, and most of the headrests, because, you know, they're trying to protect you in the event of an accident, they're very, very strong. And most of them are, I believe all of them have those 2 metal prongs that go down into the seat.
Uh-huh.
You take that out and you use that to bash your way out of the window. And that's a way that you can break the glass if you can't figure out how to do it with your hand or kick it out or whatever. Can't get the door open sometimes because of pressure. But those headrests should be able to poke through.
But I don't know that that would have helped her, because even the EMT people had trouble getting those windows broken.
Yeah,
they finally did it. Yeah.
In this case, it may not have worked.
Yeah, they finally got to her and they grabbed her hand and then pulled her out, and it was too late. I mean, what is it they say? You've got about 6-7 minutes before you get submerged in water, and then it's done.
Yeah, it's so sad. And she was only 25 yards from the shoreline, 75 feet.
I know.
And her friends couldn't find her. And again, you got to think, like, if they had just called 911 immediately instead of talking for that 8 minutes trying to, you know, figure this problem out,
right?
Would that have made a difference? And, I, you know, who knows?
I'm sure they're all completely freaked out and heartbroken over
horrible.
This.
Horrible. Just a horrible story.
It really is. Is alcohol still legal? This is a bit of a transition here. Speaking of alcohol, it's an alcohol story.
It's just some transition, yeah.
Is it illegal still in Saudi Arabia? Why, I ask? Because Saudi Arabia has a very, very big plan for a huge 250-room resort. It's elevated. It's got a sky pool that's the longest one in the world. Majestic natural surroundings. It's designed for adventure and endeavor. And it's the size of Belgium.
Wow. What?
Yeah. Yeah. So I wondered, you know, Saudi Arabia it's a dry country, but what they're doing now is in these little, like pockets of places, they have diplomats, and in those compounds, they're allowed to have alcohol. But what they're finding out is that a lot of these places are also providing alcohol to the black market. So let's say there's a big giant party, everybody's drinking. Well, there's, you know, 40 bottles of wine left over. And somebody sneaks them out and sells them on the black market. So they're starting, they have the very first government-run liquor store. But it's only for non-Muslim diplomats. So if you're a diplomat...
So a diplomat can have a drink, but nobody else.
Well, I think in the Muslim religion, I'm not sure that there is this alcohol anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's how...
Would you go to a place like this? And I'm looking at pictures of this right now. It's a unbelievable futuristic looking. I mean, it looks like something out of a sci-fi movie. Just springing up from the middle of this completely barren desert is this beautiful elevated pool that stretches. It looks like the length of a giant city. And it's just this beautiful oasis in the middle of nowhere. But if they don't serve alcohol, I don't want to sound like, I don't want to sound like an alcoholic, but like if I'm going on vacation somewhere,
right.
You know, I'd like a tropical drink.
Yeah.
And I'd like to unwind a little bit, especially if I'm going to take a flight on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
It's going to limit their clientele.
I don't know many people. I actually had a job in Saudi Arabia. I had I developed with another person a volunteer program right before the coup. And then when there was a soft coup and the, crown prince was eliminated or, you know, taken over by this other prince, the whole thing got scrapped because it wasn't the new prince's idea.
Yeah.
So But I had my visa to go to Saudi Arabia. I had everything ready to go. We were going to meet with a bunch of people. And I was really scared because...
Because you couldn't get alcohol.
Well, not really that, but I was scared because that, you know, they have the religious police. If your head's, there's so many things that can go wrong.
Yeah, that you just wouldn't even know that you were doing wrong.
Exactly. And it was really scary. But I'm disappointed that I didn't have that experience because I would have loved to have done that.
I mean, it's a part of the world that I would still love to see. Mm-hmm. I have the same concerns as you do that, you know, culturally, would I know, would I step in it? Would I make a mistake? But, you know, with this amazing looking hotel resort, I would love to see it. But would I spend the money that it would, you know, that it would be required to get there if I knew once I got there that I couldn't have a drink? Probably not.
Good news is somebody gave you the trip. The bad news is you have to be sober the whole time.
Oh, no. I can look at pictures. I can get the same joy as just looking at the pictures.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
The John Curley and Sherry Ellicker show that you're listening to, but there's a twist because Jake Skorheim is in for John Curley today. Glad to have you along, and thank you to Jake for stepping in when it was necessary. This is a kind of a sad subject, but it really isn't. Life expectancy in the state of Washington, according to the FYI guy, is different depending on where you live. So, Jake.
Yes.
San Juan County has the longest life expectancy. That's 86.3 years.
That's pretty good. On average, people live almost 87 years. That's great.
Yep. And who has the lowest?
The lowest, I believe, is, what is this? This is wrong here. Stick with me, folks. I don't have it in front of me.
Append?
It's Ponderay. I'm sorry, Ponderay, Washington. That's how it's pronounced. Ponderay.
Okay, Ponderay. Yeah. So it's a 74.9.
That's not great.
It's an 11-year gap. Same state. If you want to know what has the lowest, though, life expectancy in the country, it's Buffalo County, South Dakota. It's 55.9.
Oh, what is it, 1925 there?
Are they literally
living back in time?
I know. Is dysentery really spreading through the county? It's terrible.
Wow.
In Mono County, California, life expectancy is 98.9.
You know what I think that is? I think that is part of that. Have you ever seen that show? And it's about a guy who studies the Blue Zones. Have you ever heard of Blue Zones? Which is like pockets of people who live for over 100 years. Mm-hmm. And he goes into all these different parts of the world and he studies these blue zones. And I think that might be in one of the blue zones. And he just looks at these people and he like breaks down, is it because of diet? Is it like oftentimes it's because people have a pretty rigorous diet that they follow for a long time. Usually it's like related to some religious, you know, study or mm-hmm. something. And they're just very, very strict about the way they live their life, and routine keeps them. And also they tend to have really strong ties to local communities. So when somebody might pass, like, you know, couples often die years apart, mm-hmm. people don't have the same like downfall that they might in another part of the country because they are still so strongly tied into these communities, which kind of look out for each other. Even if you've lost a spouse, the companionship then gets carried over by somebody else. And that's apparently it's like such a big part of, you know, living a long time is to have people that you're living for. And so, you know, maybe these counties are clearly that's not happening in Buffalo?
Buffalo,
South Dakota.
And the other thing I read just the other day was that loneliness is as bad for you as drinking and smoking.
Really?
That's how powerful loneliness is. Right. Because if you don't have those connections and you're all by yourself, you don't have much to live for. So your health deteriorates. You don't really care anymore. You kind of give up. Speaking of giving up, I am a big proponent of this, and we're going to call this voluntary death because euthanasia sounds so icky.
Clinical, yeah.
Yeah. And in the Netherlands, and in Belgium. Those were the first European countries to allow this. And this is an article that talks about these two women who were a couple for 50 years. One had dementia, the other one had a muscular disease. They were able to hold hands and have a voluntary death. And they both died at the same time.
Yeah, they were 74 and 88 years old, like you mentioned, one with dementia, the other with a muscular disease. They described this process, and I think this is interesting. They said the two women lay on a bed holding hands. They both had a drip in their arm and a doctor at their side, according to the agents, France Press. They kissed. They said, thank you and I love you. We looked at each other and said, are you ready, girls? Yes, let's go, they replied. And the doctor said they were really careful to make sure that they gave the injections at the same time because they didn't want them to see the other one pass away first, because it's apparently it's very, very quick. It's like instant. And but yeah, so they ended that way. It reminded me, have you seen the movie, what's the movie with Ryan Gosling and what's her face, and they are old people, and The Notebook.
You said Notebook? Okay. I didn't see it, but it seemed too depressing to me.
Oh, okay. I don't want to spoil it for you. But anyway, at the end of the movie, they end up both passing away. And it's a very sweet movie. I would recommend it. It's pretty good. My wife loves it. At the end of the movie, they both pass away, but they die together. Like, they're just kind of like laying down. They fall asleep and they both pass away. And, you know, I mean, this sounds like if you spend your whole life with someone and you then want to end your life at the same time, I mean, it is kind of a nice way to go.
It is a bit romantic, even though it's not, you know, pleasant. I just think a lot of times we warehouse people that have really, they don't, I mean, my dad was one of them. You know, he was in a nursing home and he had dementia and he was in this place and it was a very nice place, very, very expensive. So he was well taken care of. But they'd wheel him out into the room with the other people and watch TV all day. And, you know, it was so heartbreaking to watch him do that. But truth be told, if somebody had said, hey, he can no longer make decisions for himself, would you want this to happen?
Could you have made that decision for him?
No. Yeah. When he finally was dying, I was apoplectic. I was crushed. Yeah. I couldn't believe I'd have a life without him. So it does take a lot of courage to make that decision and to control that part of your life. In Canada, it's much easier. In Canada, you only have to be 18. You have to be able to show that your suffering cannot be alleviated. But I did read up on this because I thought it was also if you had mental illness, if you were just terribly depressed. They actually have a thing now where it's not until March 2027 that you can begin this process with just mental illness. They have put a hold on that.
You don't want like a moody 18-year-old going
decision. I think 18 is a little young, but I guess if you really have a crippling disease and you have no quality of life, what does it matter what age you are?
This is such a tough topic because I really believe that life is so, I mean, I know you do too, but like life is so precious. And so I don't want anybody making this decision in error and just like kind of giving into maybe what might be a temporary low point in their life. Like there might be some hope out there for the future. So especially for people who are young, this seems like a very bad idea to me. I've read stories about what Canada plans on doing. And, you know, if somebody's 18 or 19 or 20 or even 40 years old and they're suffering from crippling depression, it would still be very difficult for me. You know, I'm not that person. I don't want to like tell them how to live their life or not live a life, but like I would still have a tough time supporting that person going in and saying, there's just no value to me living my life anymore. So I really don't know where I come down on this. I feel much different about it than the couple that you just described who had dementia and who are 88 years old and have lived a long, happy life and are now deciding, I've done it. You know, I've lived almost 90 years. It's the end of my life. I'm making this decision. Versus somebody who's, you know, just, you know, 20, 30 years old. I just, those are two very, very different things to me.
Well, and with medical advancements, I wouldn't judge anybody that was in a position where they had no quality of life. And I certainly wouldn't say to them, can you just wait 10 years? Maybe something will come up. But there are advances and there are things that are happening. So you never know. But it is a deeply personal decision and it is one that takes a lot of strength and a lot of courage to make it. It's not legal in the... Is it legal in Oregon, I think?
I believe... I don't know. I thought it was legal. I thought it was legal in Oregon.
Everything's legal in Oregon.
Right. That's a good point. So, on that happy note, let's go over.
Yeah, what an upper. What a way to wind up the show. Wind down the show.
We got one more hour to go on the John Curley and Sherry Elicker show. Jake Skorheim is in for John. But let's take a little break, and how about if we go to the mailman and read some letters?
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman.
If Jake.
You know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
I love bread. Yeah, quit messing with the mailman.
All right.
Okay, you are the guest, so you can go first for all of the letters.
All right, let's get going. Graffiti drones. Richard says, I think those spray paint drones are a complete fraud, like the scooters. It's somebody's buddy that owns a company that's friends with somebody at the city council. That's an interesting idea.
Possibility, yes. Yeah. Judy says, can you imagine the traffic accidents that are going to can you imagine the traffic accident that's going to cause... I'll get it in a minute.
Keep going.
People gawking at spray painting drone on the spray.
Let's
spray
move
painting
on.
Drone. It's going to be a nightmare. I hope it works, though, because I cannot stand all that graffiti. It looks so bad.
All right. Should we jump ahead to Too Beautiful to Get Film Roles? Dave says there are so many beautiful actors in L.A. that are not working and acting, really honing in on those bartending skills. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Here's about roundabouts. 360 says roundabouts are also put in for safety reason as it eliminates head-on accidents. Yeah, unless you're 99 and you go completely across the middle part.
Yeah, absolutely. Lolo in Mercer Island says in Mercer Island, when they built one, I saw old folks driving around it twice, like if they have never seen one before. That is true. You do kind of, if you miss your turn, you can just keep going.
Oh, you got to keep going.
Yeah, it's a merry-go-round.
Yeah. 360 says the one on Highway 20 and Anacortes to Whidbey Island has eliminated traffic being backed up heading into Whidbey Island. There used to be a quarter to a half mile backup and waiting 4 to 5 light cycles. Since the roundabout went in, I have not had to stop there when I go visit.
Very good. They can work. It can work.
Oh, yeah.
Those Europeans, they're onto something. They must
know.
Student loans. Mike says, well, it's also unfair that the guy that starts the mechanic shop can declare bankruptcy, but the person who has all the student loans can't. Okay. Interesting point.
253 says Biden is just trying to buy votes for this coming election from the demographics of young people who have this debt.
Just a real quick point to Mike. There's also no value in declaring bankruptcy on a student loan. The guy who can declares bankruptcy, can't he, like, he can lose those assets, right? Can't the bank reclaim those assets if he's taken out loans for those things?
Are you talking about the mechanic?
The mechanic. I'm sorry, the mechanic.
Yes, that's right. So then the bank will own his equipment and all of that stuff.
Yeah, so like the student loan, like that's of no value to anybody else. So like they're not incentivized to be able to do that. All right, let's see. Fernando says, like all of the companies that took out the PPP loans during COVID and then they all got their debt forgiven, all those companies should have also been forced to pay their debt. Okay.
I agree.
Interesting.
I don't think that's the wrong attitude. G.N. Puyallup says, in the United States Constitution, the phrase in order to form a more perfect union is used several times. You cannot have progress without change. You cannot have positive solutions without change. Okay.
Now it is time for the letter of the day.
That is all you, Jake.
All right, Wendy, the truck driver, and this is on people keeping their houses too clean. She says, boy, people should come to my house. Maybe I can make money by inviting families over to sit in my dust and pet hair so they can build up their immunities. I'll give them a glass of well water to top it off. Smiley face. Thank you, Wendy. That's kind. That's a pretty good business.
It's kind of a public service, actually, for children.
Yeah, I think they should do it.
Jake, do you mind doing one more hour to add to your marathon?
It would be my pleasure. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, it's great.
All right. Thank you so much for doing that, Jake. Really appreciate it.